And it'll be a great blessing to hear the Word of God from Vicki Barnhart.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Well, good morning, everybody.
I can't see you.
We're getting an echo here. Hold on. So I can't see your faces, but I can feel your hearts. I don't know, am I on or off? Okay, good. And it's really a joy to be able to share God's Word, especially with you guys, as well as anyone else. But you guys know you hold a special place in our hearts out here in Oklahoma. And it's a beautiful thing to hear the manifestations. I was sitting here listening. I thought, well, we could just say amen and go to lunch. I mean, what a wonderful God. What beautiful messages he gave us this morning. And it was amazing to my heart, I can tell you that. And up on the screen should be the scriptures one of the main scriptures we're going to look at today. And I want to talk about an established heart. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 12. And may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one to another and to all, just as we do to you. And we know that this is Paul talking to the believers in Thessalonica, and it was a place that really supported his ministry for a long time. So he was there to really bless them and to thank them. In verse 13, it says, so that he, God, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That is a very powerful verse because it talks about how God will establish our hearts blameless in holiness before him and at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all his saints. So this is something that having an established heart, God has to be a part of that. In fact, God has to be the main part of that. To have an established heart takes time, though. It's a process. It certainly is God's desire, but it will require an conscious effort on our part. An established heart is one that is rooted and grounded in the things of God. When we invest our time talking to God, praying, reading his word, listening to teachings, walking with that spirit of God inside of us, that is always open and ready to receive from God. But many times we have to work with our minds to put ourselves in the position where God can establish our hearts with him. So it really is investing time with God and obeying what God tells us to do. And as we open our hearts so that he can do what he needs to do to establish our hearts, we make it available for our hearts to be established. It's a teamwork. God's not going to make us have an established heart if we're not willing to open up that heart to him. And I think it's very important to see that. So today we're going to look at some examples from the Word of men and women who you can see from the communication between them and God that we're going to read that God was directing their lives, and of course that would include their heart. So let's go to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to talk about Noah, man's thoughts. Noah chapter 6 verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, that is a pretty strong verse right there. And so go down to, we know, most of us know the story of Noah, but I want to just kind of look at a couple more verses here. Go down to verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now every other man, his thoughts were only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Listen to this. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That sounds simple, doesn't it? It's not. Noah walked with God at a time when everybody else only had evil thinking minds. That was a challenge for Noah. But Noah walked with God and he found grace in the eyes of God. Go down to verse 18. Now you know what happens. Noah, God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with floods, with rain. So make an ark. Now think about this. Noah didn't have the scriptures to look at. Noah only had his personal relationship with God. And God's asking him to do something that he's never heard of. Because up until the time of the flood, there was no rain. There's never been rain. So Noah doesn't have, oh yeah, that rain stuff's coming. No, God is telling Noah specifically what to do about something Noah has never even thought about, I'm sure. And then he tells him to build this ark. Wow. Ark? He's never seen an ark. But you know what? Noah trusted God with his heart. Him and God were established in a heart relationship. So whatever God asked him to do, as we read on, you know what? Noah did it. We know that. We know the story of Noah and the ark. Look down in verse 18. God tells him very specifically, but I will establish God will establish my covenant, his covenant, with Noah. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And then there's more information about the ark, the animals, but drop down to verse 22. Thus Noah did. What's that word? It's very little. It's like but. It's very small, but it's a very big action word. Thus Noah did according to all. There's another small word, all, but a big word in action. That God commanded him, so he did. Wow. He commanded him to build something he'd never seen before. He told him why. He told him exactly which animals to take. He told him exactly how many. And guess what it says? And Noah did. That is how we get to establish our hearts with God. We have to do the things that God shows us to do in our lives so that God can continue to do the things he wants to do for us. But God is not a God that controls us. So we have to have that heart open to him so he can put the things in our hearts that help to establish our hearts with him, so that we can do great things for him. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 2. We're looking at examples, okay, of men and women who were just like you and I, men and women, flesh and bones, but you know what? They didn't have the spirit in them either, like we do. What a wonderful thing Jesus Christ made available for us. But even before that, if God spoke and man was willing to listen and do, they were victorious in the things God called them to do because their hearts were established. Okay, Exodus chapter 2, we're going to talk about Jochebed. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Jochebed is, but it's Moses' mother. So, Exodus 2, verse 3. At this time, Pharaoh was very concerned about the Hebrew people, the Israelites, taking over the country because they were having children. And a lot of the children born were men. And Pharaoh was concerned that these men would grow up and be able to conquer his kingdom. So he decided to make a decree that any male child born would be eliminated. Females kept, males no. So that's where Moses' mother comes in, because she had Moses during this time. In verse 3, but when she could no longer hide him, number one, she knew to hide him. Who do you think told her to do that? She knew if she didn't, what would happen. So she hid him. Now, if you've ever had newborn in your home and you try to hide this fact for 3 months, that's not easy to do, but she did it. And then she took an ark of Blum Russell for him and dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, but put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now, who do you think told her what to do? And then she puts him in a river, and in that river were crocodiles. It was not like this nice little spring. And she placed him in the river. And go down to verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, okay, because I need to give you a little information. Pharaoh's sister went down there to bathe, and she had never had a child. And she's the one who the basket was taken to in the river current. So who do you think was doing the river currents? Of course, God. And she looked at the child and wanted it. And so in verse 7, another thing Moses' mother did, she did a lot of things, so I'm trying to make sure we get them all in there, is that she sent his sister to follow the basket to see what happens. So she makes the basket, puts him in the river, and sends her daughter to see what's going to happen with Moses. And then the sister of Pharaoh got him out of the riverbank. And then the sister, this is verse 7, and then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse him, a child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. Now during this time, the nourishment from an infant, from a child, was the mother's milk. And so children were nursed until they grew into 3 or 4 years sometimes. So she didn't just take him home and then feed him and take him back to Pharaoh's daughter. She took him home and she fed him and she taught him. And that was something that God had instructed her to do. Now think about it. This is her child. And she's doing this. And then God tells her, you got to take him back to her. So she nurses him. And then Pharaoh's daughter gets him back. And during the time that that Moses is growing into this child, what do you think she was teaching him? Because we all know what happens down the road with Moses. This is a woman's heart that had to be locked in with God to give up her child and to know she's getting him back, but she has to give him back again. This woman had to be so connected to God that she did exactly what God told him to do. And it says in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Now, down the road, this woman plays a part in helping Moses hide and get away. She never gives him in as a Hebrew child. So for 3 months, at least, she had him in her care. Then she had to put him in a river full of crocodiles. And then she gets him back from Pharaoh's daughter, but only for a period of time. And then she has to give him back. Like I said, these people didn't have scriptures. These guys had a heart that was so locked in with God, they listened and obeyed him. And that is one of the biggest keys of a established heart, is to listen and obey what God shows us. Go to 1 Samuel, verse 17. And this is the time of the story of David and Goliath. And we're just going to look at a few verses here. We all know what happened with David and Goliath. And David was not a grown man. He was still a young man. Okay? Look at verse 26. 1 Samuel 17:26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him. Now remember, the guys just didn't, nobody wanted to go out and face this giant. And then David shows up, this wonderful shepherd, this younger man, and he says to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That is a very strong statement. And we know that God sent David over there. And God is working within David's heart. Go down to verse 17. I'm sorry, chapter 17, verse 45. Let's look at David's response. "Then David said to the Philistine," him and the giant are out there together now. "And then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" Now, you think David was locked in with God? You think their hearts were of one accord at this point in this young man's life? Now, David blew it down the road. We all have our times when we do things that just are not the right things to do. But God still worked in David's life and brought David back around. And David became a man after God's own heart. This is an established heart between David and God. And you know, we have such a great wealth of understanding because we have the scriptures, we have concordances, we have things that we can utilize to search the scriptures, as some of you are learning about now, and see this Bible open up to us with an understanding that maybe we've never had before. But these guys didn't have that. They didn't have that written word. They had God's word to their hearts, to their ears. It was a wonderful thing to see the obedience and the desire that the people in the Old Testament had for doing the will of God. And there were many, many people that didn't want the will of God, but there were those people like David and Moses' mother and Samuel and some of these wonderful men and women that stood for God, Esther, and their hearts were locked in together. It wasn't because they read a book about it. It was because they were communicating with God. God was communicating with them. And that's how we can work in us today too. It's great to have these scriptures, but our hearts being established with God our Father is the thing that really He wants. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to have the victories. Now let's look in Luke. And these weren't easy circumstances, you know, that God were asking these people to do. These were hard choices. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 29. And we're going to look at Mary. "But when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will receive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Wow. And then God tells her what has to happen through the angel. Okay, you're going to be with child, and, you know, she's a young woman. She's probably 13, 14 years old. They had babies earlier in life back then because their bodies were stronger, I suppose. But this is what God's asking her to do. And she knows she's never seen him. She's never been with a man. Look down at verse 30. "Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid. I mean, I'm sure there was a temptation to be afraid, because in that culture, she was betrothed to Joseph, and they had not been together. They had not married yet, but she was with child, and he could have had her killed. He could have had her thrown out of the city, and I mean, it was not an easy choice. That's what I'm trying to get across here on some of these, on all of these situations that we look at today. It wasn't just, hey, Vicki, I want you to go down to the grocery store, and there's going to be a lady there with a red dress, and I want you to witness to her. Okay. No. It was much deeper than that. But that was the communication between God and his people for many years, thousands, was the heart connection. He had their hearts. These are people who loved God, who knew God personally. They spent time in prayer. They spent time talking to God. I mean, there's just no way you could have these type of circumstances asked of you and have the strength and the commitment and the courage and the love to do these things unless you were locked in with God. God knew who he was dealing with, and he knew how to do it. Let's look at Luke 1. And we know the story of Mary. It was cool. I'm not going to go over all that because you all know it. But what a tremendous woman. What a tremendous woman Moses' mother was. What a tremendous woman Esther was. And these men of God that were strong and determined and steadfast. We have such a great history as God's people. And one of the greatest things is that we can lock our hearts in with God. We can have that heart established with him. So when something comes up in our life and he needs us to move, we move. We do what he says. We go where he tells us to go. We say what he tells us to say. I mean, God really wants to work in us like that. And when we listen, those are the greatest victories in our lives. At least I know that for myself. Look down at Luke 1, verse 30. This is toward the end of the thing on Mary. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." There's the connection. She had found favor with God because she had grown up being obedient to God, listening to God. What a great testimony. What a wonderful woman. These men and women, we're here today with our relationship with God because of these men and women. And then what was Mary's answer? "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be done according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She didn't stop. She did what God asked her to do. There was some concern there, but she spoke it out, and God took care of her heart, and she said okay, and the angel departed. Just to see an angel come and talk to you is awesome, but still the message was not an easy message for her heart. But because her heart, because she had found favor with God, because her heart was open to God, you know what? God got through to her, and she did it. Thank you, Mary. And then there's Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew 26. Wow. Verse 37. And Jesus took Peter with him and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." We know what we're reading here, you guys. This is before he's being taken. And he has asked these specific men to go with him and pray. Okay? Verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This is another demonstration of Jesus' willingness to obey God. man disobeyed God. It took a man who was willing with his heart to obey God. And this is the man who did, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow, it's just an amazing account. Look at verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And here he is at this tremendous time in his life, and he's still trying to teach these guys about the spirit. He's trying to help them realize the power that they have. And then he leaves on verse 42. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You know, he prayed three times here. He prayed three times, and they still fell asleep. But you know what? He loved them, and he let them sleep. And when it was time, and him and the Father were done in the garden, and he woke them up, and he turned himself in. Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen to him. He had scriptures to look at. He knew what God was asking of him. And he asked God, "Is there any other way?" I mean, this is a man who had the strength of strength within him, and he still asked. And when God told him, he listened, he took care of his disciples, and he did what God asked him to do. What an amazing Savior we serve. What an amazing God we have. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. You know, God works within each and every one of us differently. And sometimes we all have the same understanding of something. And sometimes we have personal things in our lives or things God wants us specifically to do. And he will work with our hearts if we have our hearts open to him. And one of the things I want to really help you understand is what God asks us to do is not always easy. And sometimes you can't even figure out why. What? You want me to do that? But the key here is to trust him, to honestly know that I am working with the creator of the universe. And whatever I need to do, he will help me do it. And that's not always easy to our physical minds, but our hearts, the deepest part of us who believe that God is our God and that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that is where we will draw our strength from, not from the circumstances our mind might think of. These guys didn't let circumstances stop them from being obedient. They had their hearts locked in with God, established with God. And I know that that's how I want my heart to be, and I'm sure you guys do too. Go to Colossians 1:27. To them, God's people, will be made known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Now, every one of you, it is Christ in you. This is who you are. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a powerful scripture. What a powerful message. Christ in us. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, he is with us no matter what is going on. In our lowest of lows, in our highest of highs, in the hardest thing maybe we ever thought we have to do, we can do it because we are established in God's heart, and God is established in our heart because we know him, we trust him, we have Christ in us. He did all of that because of his love for us. I want you to look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want you to remember John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because God so loved the world. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. The verse up on the, I think it's up on the screen. And may the Lord God make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love to one another. First to one another. We should be so loving and so caring for one another that it amazes people. And I've had people that have come to visit us when we lived in California, and people that have come for weekends that we did. And you know what? I got so many compliments for you guys, for the believers there, that how loving and how caring we were when people came in. And that is just, it's like God showing people. When people see that love and they compliment you about it or they ask you about it, you know what? You know God's at work. You know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. God gave his son because he loves the world so much. When we can put our hearts in with his heart and we can increase and abound in love one to another and to all that we meet and that come to fellowship, so that we meet in the grocery store and talk to. Just as we, as Paul had been doing to the Thessalonians, so that he may establish your heart. It is so easy for God to establish our heart when the love is abounding in our heart for him. And our hearts can be established blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What a wonderful thing to understand and think about sometime. Man, when Christ comes back, this is what I'm going to look like. This is God working within us. And what a powerful, powerful God we have, and what a powerful message of the Christ in us and of the love of God that can live within us, that does live within us, and how we can have our hearts connected and established with God under any circumstance, highest high or lowest low. If we're listening and we're locked in with him, the victory is at hand. So I love you guys, and I'm so thankful to be a part of your lives, even though we're kind of a part of your lives. We're still a part of your lives. Your hearts are still locked in with ours and ours with you. And so I'm going to pray here and close out for this morning teaching. God, we're so thankful. Sometimes your word is so great and so powerful. It's just like, how do you really communicate this to people when you teach? But Father, you're at work, and you know their hearts, and you know each and every one of them and the hairs on their head. And I just pray that this teaching will glorify you and encourage them and help them continue to walk with you and be strong in their faith with you, and just let you work in our hearts, God, that we can have just solid, established hearts with you. So when you call, when you ask, when you need us, we are there to serve and to give and to praise you and give you the glory. I thank you for the wonderful believers that are gathered together today in San Diego and on the phone line. And thank you guys for just being a part of this great family of God and from wanting to hear God's word, to want to know and to walk out on it and be the people that God have called you to be, the shining lights of this world. And I thank you for these things, Father, and give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.